Reading from Paul's letter to the Galatians, chapter 2, verses 1 to 21. Then, after 14 years, I went up again to Jerusalem, this time with Barnabas. I took Titus along also. I went in response to a revelation, and, meeting privately with those esteemed as leaders, I presented to them the gospel that I preach among the Gentiles. I wanted to be sure I was not running and had not been running my race in vain. Yet not even Titus, who was with me, was compelled to be circumcised, even though he was a Greek. This matter arose because some false believers had infiltrated our ranks to spy on the freedom we have in Christ Jesus and to make us slaves. We did not give in to them for a moment, so that the truth of the gospel might be preserved for you. As for those who were held in high esteem, whatever they were makes no difference to me. God does not show favoritism. They added nothing to my message. On the contrary, they recognized that I had been entrusted with the task of preaching the gospel to the uncircumcised, just as Peter had been to the circumcised. For God, who was at work in Peter as an apostle to the circumcised, was also at work in me as an apostle to the Gentiles. James, Cephas, and John, those esteemed as pillars, gave me and Barnabas the right hand of fellowship when they recognized the grace given to me. They agreed that we should go to the Gentiles, and they to the circumcised. All they asked was that we should continue to remember the poor, the very thing I had been eager to do all along. When Cephas came to Antioch, I opposed him to his face, because he stood condemned. For before certain men came from James, he used to eat with the Gentiles. But when they arrived, he began to draw back and separate himself from the Gentiles, because he was afraid of those who belonged to the circumcision group. The other Jews joined him in his hypocrisy, so that by their hypocrisy, even Barnabas was led astray. When I saw that they were not acting in line with the truth of the gospel, I said to Cephas in front of them all, "You are a Jew, yet you live like a Gentile and not like a Jew. How is it then that you force Gentiles to follow Jewish customs? We who are Jews by birth and not sinful Gentiles know that a person is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. So we, too, have put our faith in Christ Jesus, that we may be justified by faith in Christ, and not by works of the law, because by the works of the law no one will be justified. But if in seeking to be justified in Christ we Jews find ourselves also among the sinners, doesn't that mean that Christ promotes sin? Absolutely not. If I rebuild what I destroyed, then I really would be a lawbreaker. For through the law I died to the law, so that I might live for God. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not set aside the grace of God. For if righteousness could be gained through the law, Christ died for nothing. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew. Glory to you, O Lord. Matthew chapter 16, starting at verse 13. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, Who do people say the Son of Man is? They replied, Some say John the Baptist. Others say Elijah. And still others, Jeremiah or one of the prophets. But what about you? He asked, Who do you say I am? Simon Peter answered, You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Jesus replied, Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. This is the Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Thank you so much,
Tina. We really do have two of the most outstanding saints as our patron. I know we call ourselves BPC or Buckingham Parish Church, but of course we really are St. Peter and St. Paul's Church. And they're two incredible characters. Peter, who I really identify with, impulsive, impetuous. I want to get out of the boat and try walking on the water. He fails. I've had lots of failures in my life too. But he loves the Lord Jesus with a real passion. And then we've got Paul, very, very different. A deeply religious man, highly educated. I'm not sure I would have got on with him at all when he was Saul. I hope I would have got on with him well when he was Paul. But he would have been a very intense, deep-thinking theologian, but equally passionate about the gospel. And what they had in common was obviously a deep love of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the other thing they would have had in common is that they'd been used to these things, bars. Both of them, at various stages in their ministry, suffered imprisonment and torture, and of course, ultimately, death. So we're going to talk about perceptions, and perceptions are very important. How you perceive things can make all the difference. Sometimes they can be life and death. Imagine a soldier on duty at a checkpoint somewhere in Afghanistan, and he sees a woman coming towards him pushing a pram. Is the pram full of a baby, or is the woman pushing a bomb? How he perceives that woman is ultimately almost a life and death decision. So how people perceive things, how people particularly perceive others, is really important. In our gospel reading, Jesus has been teaching his disciples. They have seen him at work. They've seen him calm the storm, raise the dead, feed the 5,000. And yet, I think there's still a perception problem. What are they actually perceiving when they see Jesus? And so he asks them, Who do you say I am? Simon Peter answered, You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And then, of course, the penny drops for Peter. Peter says that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. His perception changes because God inspires him with a knowledge of who Jesus really is. And Jesus replies, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it." So, the fisherman with no formal education. All Peter knew how to do was to fish, and he was probably very good at that. But he knew nothing else, probably. But a man with boundless enthusiasm, chosen by Jesus no less, becomes the rock on which Jesus would build his church. That's you and me. And Peter tried walking on water, and he failed. He denied Jesus three times, and then was forgiven and restored. And the lesson, of course, from Peter's life for us is that if Jesus can make use of someone as flawed, who failed as many times as Peter, he can certainly make use of us. That someone else, of course, who had a massive change of perception was none other than Paul. So when he was Saul, he was present when Stephen was martyred. He was looking after the coats of the people who were stoning Stephen. He was so zealous in his persecution of anyone who followed Jesus. And yet, in a miracle, he meets Jesus on the road to Damascus, and his perception is changed. Paul, the Pharisee, the teacher of the law, the sinless one, the spotless academic who knew everything with the perfect Jewish pedigree. I mean, you couldn't have found someone more different to Peter. Paul writes what we now know as the New Testament, and plants many churches around Asia Minor. And these two broken but restored men are our saints, our patron saints here at Buckingham Parish Church. And that they cared deeply about the gospel is not in question. In our reading from Galatians, Paul is having a rant against those who he sees are turning from the true faith. They've been got at. He says, "I'm astonished that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you to live in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel, which is really no gospel at all. Evidently, some people are throwing you into confusion and are trying to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach a gospel other than the one we preach to you, let them be under God's curse." Wow, harsh words. All his good teaching was being undone by a group referred to as the Judaizers, who were Jewish converts to Christianity, and they didn't like that there was so much freedom in Christ. They yearned after their rules and regulations. So theirs was a kind of a gospel plus. This was the faction that were insisting that converts to Christianity should be circumcised and also follow some of the Pharisaical laws. And Paul couldn't stand them. He couldn't stand their message either. But like Peter, Paul had had his perceptions changed dramatically. And the gospel was therefore of the utmost importance to both of them. They both knew the life-transforming power of the gospel. "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." So, I've been thinking what Peter and Paul's perception might be of us here today. Are we really sold out for the gospel? It's quite a challenging question. Do we really get what Jesus's death, on the cross and his resurrection has achieved for us. Well, I think in terms of loving our neighbour, we're doing really well. I think there's been an amazing response during this pandemic in terms of reaching out to our community. I'm going to embarrass him, but Keith Croxton and his team has done the most incredible job running the food bank operations. Endless food parcels, endless telephone calls, endless responding to the needs in the community. And I'm so grateful to Keith and his wonderful team for the incredible work that you've been doing. And my hope and prayer is that everyone who has received love from BPC will know the why of BPC. They'll know it's because God loved the world so much. It's because Jesus commands us to love our neighbour as ourself. And I hope, talking about perception, I hope that the perception of BPC out in the community has been changed. We all know there are many out there in the community who write off the church. They don't like any churches because they just see them as bigoted, religious, out of touch, old-fashioned, fuddy-duddy. My hope and prayer is they have seen what amazing love there is within our church for our community, for our neighbours, through all the service that's been going on. And I'm hoping that people's perceptions have been changed outside so that we can start inviting people. I pray that first we'll all feel excited about inviting people into BPC, inviting all our friends along. I mean, I don't know about you, I'm really excited about going back to church, and I hope that excitement will spill out into a desire to want to invite others to come with me. And the second thing is I hope others outside in the community will be excited about the prospect of coming to BPC. They'll have heard so much about us. They may have been on the receiving end of a food parcel or somebody calling them to see if they're okay or offering to go shopping for them. They want to come and see the why, be part of our community. And I want to finish with an exhortation that I know Peter and Paul would have thoroughly agreed with. So let's look at that now. I want to exhort you to pray that God would lay on your heart the names of at least one person who you can be praying for the courage to invite them to church and perhaps to Alpha as well. And that when you invite them, not only will you have the courage to follow through, but they might say, yes, I'd like to come with you to church. Or, yes, I am interested in exploring the Christian faith. And yes, I'll look into the Alpha course. I have no doubt, and you can't disagree with me here, that Peter, St. Peter and St. Paul would both be exhorting us passionately to do that. And being responsible for someone becoming a Christian, may I just say, is one of the biggest privileges imaginable. It's one of the few things you can do in life that has truly eternal consequences. Because that lost person, without coming to faith, then when their life finishes, it finishes. But if they die a Christian, their life goes on into all eternity. And I want to really encourage every single one of us to take that exhortation really seriously. Try and facilitate someone coming to a living faith in Jesus Christ. It puts you up there amongst the greats. But let's spend time considering and reflecting on how we can become the people God has made us to be. And one of the main things he's made us to be is disciple-making disciples. People who are unafraid to tell people about their faith invite them to church, and invite them on Alpha. That's all from the field up by the industrial estate. It's been lovely talking to you. I hope you've enjoyed what's going on in the background. But please remember the exhortation. Let's pray now for the Lord to show us who we can invite to share our faith with. Thank you all, and hopefully see you in church before too long. God bless.